Good morning, everybody. The court will be hearing five cases today. I'll be hearing the first two, and then we'll be taking about a 10-minute break. And Master Commissioner Mendoza will be hearing the last three. So the first case up for argument today is case number 2017-236, Pie in the Sky versus Joseph W. Testa, Tax Commissioner of Ohio, for the appellant, Ms. Bivens. Please proceed.
May it please the court, Letitia Bivens for appellant Pie in the Sky LLC. Master Commissioner, if I may reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal, please.
Sure.
Ohio law has long respected intercompany transactions for sales and use tax purposes. Parent and subsidiary entities have also been respected under Ohio law as separate and distinct entities for such purposes. However, in this case, the sham transaction provisions of 570356 have been applied to disregard a transaction and denied a resale exemption for appellant's purchase of an aircraft for lease to others. And the aircraft was in fact leased to his sole member, Mitchell Salon and Day Spa. And that transaction was supported by business purpose. If this decision is allowed to stand, it will completely disrupt Ohio law and also disrupt Ohio statutory authority. If this decision stands, not only will it embolden agency legislation, it will for the first time make intercompany transactions a nullity for sales and use tax purposes, despite having independent business purpose, and this is solely due to agency legislation. There are three key errors in this case, which both separately and together warrant reversal because the board's decision is both unreasonable and unlawful. The first is the board's misapplication and misconstruction of Ohio law. Second, the board's denial of due process to appellant and striking portions that were undisclosed in appellant's brief and argument with notice and opportunity to be heard. And third, the denial to engage in meaningful and thoughtful discovery. For purposes of argument, although no issues in the brief are waived, we're going to focus on the first issue, and that's the misapplication and misconstruction of Ohio law. And it's important to note on this point, the board is entitled to no deference because the application and construction of the law is an issue that's de novo review for this court, and the board is entitled to no deference. Guiding principles to keep in mind is that a taxpayer is entitled to arrange its affairs in a way that will minimize tax consequences, so long as that's not the only reason why a taxpayer has arranged its affairs in that manner. Secondly, in construing the statutes, the court must give effect to every word used by the legislature. It cannot add words, it cannot add additional requirements, nor can it construe the statute in a way that will render the statute meaningless or any portion of the statute meaningless. And finally, although the commissioner's decision is entitled to a presumption of correctness, the board is not required by any authority to essentially wear blinders and not consider the totality of the record and the law as it has been enacted by the legislature to determine whether or not the commissioner's termination is in fact unreasonable and unlawful, as appellant has asserted in this case.
Is it a problem for your case that you waived hearing? And so the commissioner's finding come up to the BTA, and there's no evidence presented by your client to controvert those findings, and then the BTA upholds those findings. So we have a case that seemingly is, is bound up with the facts. So, I mean, we can talk about what the law means, but a lot of these factual findings are uncontroverted by the record.
Yes, Your Honor, and the facts are not really in dispute in this case. It's the correct application of the law. The appellant believes there should have been a three-step process that was applied. So the court focused on facts that were not in accordance with the analysis that should have been applied. First, whether or not it meets requirements of 5739 resale exemption requirements, and then looking to the lease transaction itself, applying that balancing test that was set forth in the Ace Duran case that dealt squarely with the issue of related party lease transactions and the factors to consider to determine whether or not those transactions have economic substance. And then finally, applying 570356, whether or not that transaction was either for profit or for a business purpose independent of tax considerations. We believe where the board essentially veered off the proper pathway, they didn't apply the economic balancing test in ACE Duran. Instead, they started with the commissioner's non-rule policy of legitimate business enterprise, a concept that's not defined in Ohio sales and use tax provisions, has not been promulgated by rule, and is not a concept used in any of the case law to either redefine business in 573901, to modify or provide a framework for economic substance or sham transaction. But the policy seems to require if you're going to purchase an aircraft, you have to market and advertise it to the general public. You have to make it available to the general public and in fact, engage in leases with unrelated third parties in a manner that's acceptable to the commissioner and derives a profit. There is no authority, no rule to allow such an analysis.
Doesn't the commissioner have, adjudicative authority to apply these statutes? And when I read the commissioner's final determination, it almost seems like he's just doing a totality of the circumstances. So I understand your argument that he may have applied an unpromulgated rule, but what would that rule look like other than the commissioner is going to look to all the factors?
Well, if that rule is in fact a rule that was allowed, because going through the proper rulemaking procedure, that rule is put under a test. It's disclosed to the public. In this case, this rule of general application and retroactive application has never been published to the general public. But if you look at the Maceor case, the legitimate business enterprise policy wouldn't meet that case because it says that the commissioner is not to use economic reality, economic substance, substance over form as a way to look at transactions as legitimate versus illegitimate. That's not their place to substitute their business judgment for that of a taxpayer. Instead, what they're looking for is there's a business purpose for this transaction, and if it is, that's the end of their analysis because it is not their duty under Maceor to do a legitimate versus illegitimate comparison for any business transactions. And applying the economic substance factors that are set forth in ACE Duran, this transaction should have been respected as well. ACE Duran presented very similar facts. It was a case in which ACE Duran formed a subsidiary to purchase a fleet of cars. They paid the purchase price for those cars and paid sales tax on the cars. The subsidiary did not advertise those cars to lease to anyone else. They were leased back to their parent company, ACE Duran. Master Fleet had a lease transaction that was not in writing, but for two doors, there were one fee. For four-door cars, there was another fee. And the parties actually paid the rent in between in accordance with the transaction. Although at year end, those accounting transactions were completely eliminated because it was a disregarded entity for federal tax purposes. In looking at it, the commissioner audited them and said, although you paid tax on the purchase, this transaction is a transaction with economic substance, because it has business purpose, because you're two separate and distinct parties, and we're now going to assess tax on the lease revenue. And in that case, the commissioner conceded, you should apply for a refund on the purchase price because this was a purchase for resale. And the court set forth those seven balancing factors, a seven-factor test that was a balancing test to apply, whether or not they're separate and distinct parties, whether there's a written lease agreement, and if there's not, are the terms discernible, whether or not there were actual payments of consideration made under the lease. Also, whether or not the parties took any type of obligations or responsibility under the lease. And was there a transfer of possession and control while title did not transfer? In this case, the board specifically found that the aircraft was purchased for lease to Mitchells and was in fact leased to Mitchells in a way that was a dry lease, a lease without an operator. Consideration was paid, and also Mitchells took on obligations, which is uncontroverted in the record. The invoice is showing all of the aircraft operating expenses paid by Mitchells, which is why they received a lower lease rate.
The board also made findings about this $80 an hour and the lessee bearing all the costs of maintenance, even though it didn't have an exclusive right to lease the aircraft. So it also construed that as, I think, perhaps indicative of a transaction that would not be arm's length. And again, we don't have any evidence controverting that.
Well, I disagree, Your Honor, because in the terms of the lease itself, the parties, if they were not getting access to the aircraft the way they wanted to, could have terminated it with a notice, without with notice, in immediate fashion. But the record shows that there were 200 flights for over close to 400 flight hours. They were getting the benefit of their bargain.
When you say they.
And that would be Mitchell, Salon, and Dayspa, which the commissioner concedes, again, that they're separate parties for Ohio sales and use tax purposes. And the question is whether or not there was economic substance for the transaction. And I believe that's where the second and third part of the analysis that the board should have allowed should have came in. The economic substance test under ACE Duran, which it met. The economic substance test under 570356, which it met. Applying that is whether or not there was any business purpose. And the board did not deny that those business purposes exist. It acknowledged that those purposes exist. FAA regulatory compliance, limiting liability, industry custom, which is something that was presented in ACE Duran in both the BART case, that is customary for these items of equipment to be purchased in a separate entity.
Do you think it's an objective or a subjective test when we analyze what the business purpose of this transaction was? Because, I mean, obviously I can envision scenarios where the taxpayer just says, well, we had a legitimate business purpose. And if it's a subjective inquiry, well, I think we bang the gavel and go home. But I mean, there has to be some objective inquiry into whether the purpose was to avoid tax or to effectuate some legitimate business purpose.
Yeah, I believe it's actually a combination of the two. And it has to have some level of subjective analysis because each industry and taxpayer has different circumstances. But just looking at it from a purely objective analysis, FAA regulatory compliance is key in this case. There is no dispute based on regulations, statutes, and FAA guidance that had that plane been provided to Mitchell's in any manner other than a dry lease, there would have been violations that resulted in financial penalties, grounding the aircraft, and also potentially taking away or suspending the license of the pilots operating the aircraft. It's an unlawful charter operation if you do so. And the FAA implies that very strictly, even between parent and subsidiary entities. Although they may be disregarded for federal income tax purposes, under FAA regulations, they are absolutely seen as separate and distinct parties. Applying that to the business purpose test in 570356, appellate met the standard of economic substance under that test too. But instead of applying that test, going against Maceor, which says the commissioner cannot imply or infer in illegitimate versus legitimate, they still look to whether or not it was a legitimate business enterprise. So finding, yes, you met business purposes, but we don't find that those business purposes rise to the level of a legitimate business enterprise, and started looking at factors to support the commissioner's non-rule policy of advertising to the general public unrelated third-party transactions. Even if you want to look at it in terms of arm's length, looking at the lease terms itself, there's no requirement within 5739 saying that that consideration must be fair market value or arm's length. But appellant has maintained all along that it's a fair market value arm's length transaction. It has stated such in verified pleadings that were under penalty of perjury, and also in the sworn interrogatory of responses that the commissioner put into the record.
Well, those are subject to dispute, aren't they? Didn't the BTA exclude some of that material?
Yes, and even if you go beyond the sworn interrogatory responses, the pleadings that were in the record were under penalty of perjury. And they stated that it was fair market value and the basis for how it was arrived at being a fair market value transaction. And case law cited that also recognizes that Advocates Consulting has put forth leases that are fair market value, and our standard for doing so reaches a fair market value lease rate. And if I can reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal.
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
For the appellee, Commissioner, Mr. Fossey.
Master Commissioner O'Rourke, may it please the court. I'd like to talk about two fundamental reasons why you should affirm the Board of Tax Appeals today. The first is Pie in the Sky had no business purpose for the sale of this airplane. As such, and by the way, it's Pie in the Sky's business purpose that matters for the resale exemption. So, and we'll get to that later, but because Pie in the Sky had no business purpose for this, the lease of this aircraft, they can't claim the resale exclusion. And their transaction with Mitchell's lacked economic substance.
They said they engaged in this transaction to limit liability. They had some privacy concerns. There might have been some FAA compliance issues. Why does that not count as a legitimate business purpose?
Those are, to the extent that there are purposes, they're Mitchell's purposes. And not question whether or not they're business purposes. They're not pie in the sky's purposes. Pie in the sky is engaged in the lease of an aircraft. Pie in the sky, holding it to protect Mitchell's from liability, is not a business purpose of pie in the sky. And we can walk through that, but the resale exclusion itself says we look at the purpose of the seller, the holder of the vendor's permit, and their purpose has to be to resell by someone engaged in a business enterprise. You look up the next few definitions in the revised code, 5739.01 F and G define business, enterprise, and it defines doing business. And under either of those definitions, it requires the motive, the purpose of gain or advantage, the profit. That's what business is, right? We're not in the business. I don't go into business to hold an asset for somebody else to protect them from liability without any profit motive. I mean, look at what the boardroom meeting might look like this for Pie in the Sky, you know? Hey, I have a business idea. Let's buy a $1.2 million plane and lease it for $20,000 a year. That's not a business enterprise, and the tax commissioner was absolutely right to hold that there's no economic substance to it, and there's no business purpose for Pie in the Sky owning this plane.
I mean, the statute could have included the word profit. It didn't.
What 5739.01F says that engaged in business means that the activity is conducted with the object of gain, advantage, or benefit. What gain, advantage, or benefit is there to Pie in the Sky, to holding an airplane and leasing it at a loss? There isn't one. There is no business purpose for this transaction. And we can walk through it, but you know, this is a $1.2 million aircraft. The lease payments alone on it are $65,000 a month, according to the tax commissioner's findings. Pie in the Sky's average sales tax that they reported to the tax commissioner is about, let's see, $1,700 a month. So they're not even making a third of what it would cost just to pay the loan back on this thing. So to say, you know, to say there's some substance to that transaction, what could that possibly be? What business says, I want to hold an airplane and lease it as a loss? That's my business enterprise. That's my business model. That's what we do. Okay. Where's the advantage, the benefit, or the object of gain in that transaction? There isn't one. And again, even if you take aside that 5739.01E, the resale exclusion, says you look at the purpose of the seller, we have the Flightways case from this court that says you look at the purpose of the seller when you're considering the resale exemption. And the seller's purpose is controlling. They have to have the purpose of reselling this thing for an advantage, a gain, a profit. Even if you look beyond Flightways, this is the structure of tax exclusion. It's, we look at the use of, because this is an exclusion from the general principle that all sales are subject to sales tax, we say, what's the use of this seller of this airplane? So, I mean, there's no question that the focus should be on Pie in the Sky. And tellingly, Pie in the Sky, none of its briefs advanced even the wisp of the idea that there's a profit.
Can I interrupt you?
Sure.
So what's your response to your friend on the other side's position that the commissioner is applying an unpromulgated rule in terms of his analysis and the final determination?
Okay, 2 points on that. First of all, that's not something that was briefed or raised as an assignment of error to this court. But even if it was, there is no unpromulgated rule in this case. What they're doing is the tax commissioner looked at this and said, I have to determine whether there's any economic substance to this transaction. So I'm going to look at the lease agreement. I'm going to look at the payments you received. I'm going to look at whether you made any other efforts to rent this airplane. I'm going to look at the totality of the circumstances in this case. And he found a number of factors that were dispositive of it. He said, look, you've got a one-sided lease that Mitchell's is paying for the hangaring, the maintenance, the crew. They have to carry insurance. They're liable for any damage to the plane. But a pie in the sky is free to lease it to anybody else. Who would, what business would enter into that relationship? I'm going to completely take care of this plane, but I don't get to be the exclusive lessee of it. And at $80 an hour, as we said before, they can't even pay the loan off, much less make a profit on this thing. So the tax commissioner didn't promulgate a rule. The tax commissioner looked at all the facts at his disposal and said, this doesn't have any economic substance to it.
So I want to shift you off of the business purpose and into this economic substance issue. So let's say the court, well, it looks like the, in the way you've briefed it, you kind of give the court two decision paths.
Sure.
Right. You could either find there's no business purpose and thus there's no resale exemption. And if the court agrees with that, there would be no need to reach the economic substance argument. Is that
right?
Do I understand your briefing?
Yep.
Okay.
And on the economic substance, I did want to talk because Pie in the Sky's counsel talks so much about the Ace Doran case. You know, the really important factors, if you read the opinion in that case, the really important factors were they said, okay, we have these two related entities and they're doing business with each other. So how do we make sure that this is an arm's length transaction and that it's got economic substance? And two really important factors for the court, and it's in the opinion, is that the company operated at a 5 to 10% profit margin and that it had its own board of directors and it had its own officers. It was making informed business decisions about the vehicles that it was leasing. On the other hand, in this case, we have one person on all three sides of this equation. We have the owner of Mitchell's, who is also a pilot and who owns a vacation home within 10 miles of one of the airports that this airplane regularly traveled to, signing for Mitchell's and signing for Pie in the Sky on a lease that is a sole member lease with absolutely no profit motive and no showing of an arm length transaction in this case. Now, I did want to move. My second point here is, you know, Your Honor asked about the consequences of not having a hearing. There are consequences to that. So we know that when the tax commissioner makes findings, the taxpayer bears the burden of rebutting those findings through affirmative evidence. When taxpayer, as in this case, waives the opportunity for hearing, they've waived the opportunity to put evidence in the record to rebut those findings. So the board is left with the record that the tax commission that was developed at the tax commissioner's level. That's what we have in this case. So the tax commissioner, and second of all, this is a request for an exclusion from sales tax, and exclusions are strictly construed, and the appellant, the taxpayer, bears the burden of showing that their facts exactly match the terms of the exemption. So we have a kind of a double whammy in terms of burdens here. And what did the tax commissioner find? If you read his final determination, he found that the lease terms in this case were economically unreasonable. There's nothing in the record to rebut that. He found that the hourly rate at which this plane is leased and the number of hours it is leased, it is impossible to make a profit. Nothing in the record to rebut that. He found that there was no arm's length transaction in this case. There's no facts put in a record to rebut that. He found that there was no business purpose to this transaction other than tax evasion. There's nothing, no positive evidence introduced into this record to rebut that. So again, Your Honor could go simply on the burden of proof in this case. Now, you know, we didn't start that way. I don't think you have to go that way. I think the case is sufficiently strong that we can go on the law. We're in either proposition. There was no resale in this case because there is no business enterprise being conducted, and the transaction itself lacked economic substance. So we didn't, you know, we didn't put the burden front and center because I'm not afraid of the merits of this thing, but that's another way to decide this case. Let's see. I think I've covered just about anything else. One thing I did want to correct too, is counsel said that the tax commissioner put discovery in the record in this case. We did not. It's not our practice to file discovery in the record of a case. It may have been attached to pleadings, but pleadings are not part of the evidentiary record.
So this is a reference to the discovery dispute, and those were attached to motions that compel
right
during the motion practice.
Right.
So your position, those might be a part of the procedural record, but not the evidentiary record.
Correct. So I just wanted to just wanted to correct that. If there's no further questions, Your Honor, I'll take a seat.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Bivens, you have a minute and 33 seconds left.
Yes, just a quick point of rebuttal. Ace to Ren, in that case, there were no employees and they actually shared board of directors. It was not separate board of directors. The findings in that case, the court absolutely did not look at the arm's length transaction. They looked, set forth seven factors. I asked the court to look at those factors and they should be applied in this case.
So what's your response to your friend's assertion that there was no prospect of gain, benefit, or advantage to pie in the sky by engaging in this lease if it's going to incur significant losses in terms of servicing that note?
Yeah, again, I think this points to the appellant wanting a strict construction and application of the law. The law doesn't require that you go into a business with a motive of profit. There was gain, benefit, or advantage because in undertaking this lease transaction, it structured the lease transaction in a way where it shifted both administrative and financial burden away from pie in the sky. In addition, when you read the statute, it says an activity that was formed or initiated and continued by a person with an object of benefit, gain, or advantage, both direct and indirect. So it's not just a looking at pie in the sky, but also its stakeholders, which would be Mitchell Salon. In taking that position, again, looking at the Ace to Ren case with very similar factors, there is no question that the only benefit in that case for Ace to Ren was those regulatory compliance, limiting liability, transferring the cars back over to its parent. And the commissioner conceded that was resale. There is no distinguishing factor in this case not to treat this case as a resale as well, applying that three tests, 5739, Ace Duran, and then 570356.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The case will be submitted, and you will be advised of our decision.